Hello again, and welcome back to Believers Academy. My name is Joy, and I'm excited about the good changes in your family. We're so glad you're studying with us. This is the series, The Secret to a Successful Family with Kelly Copeland. And this lesson will give you ideas and suggestions on how to show love to your family. Love is everyone's greatest need, and it's a need abundantly supplied by our good Father. Daddy God loves us, and with that supply, we have the privilege to love our families as well. So how does that work in your daily life? That's the question. Well, keep watching and find out. As usual, you can pause or rewind this teaching at any time to catch every point. And again, we have study materials for you. Go ahead and download the scriptures, notes, and action items. Are you ready? Let's join Kelly.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher, and we have been here last week and this week talking about walking in love and resisting strife, resisting division in relationships in our family, relationships, husbands, wives, mothers, children, fathers, children, brothers, sisters, and extended family and friends. We are going to resist Satan and resist strife in Jesus' name. Are you in agreement with that? You know, I know that you are. And as we go through these things in the Word and we begin to see things in our own lives that says, you know what, we need to fix that. Well, guess what? The Word of God and the anointing of God is on the inside of you to do that very thing. We don't have to fix these things ourselves. We just need to see them in the Word of God and see the things we need to put under the blood of Jesus. And the only thing we have to do is receive the power from the inside to make a change and then make a determination to just do what God says. You know, the Lord doesn't tell us these things in the Word about, you know, do this and don't do that because He wants to be a God of rules. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to have a door that is slammed shut to Satan, not letting him come in and steal and kill and destroy. He wants to be able to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And to do that, we just have to be able to receive His Word, His way of doing things, and we must walk in love. You know, of all of the things that the Word of God says, Jesus said that our commandment was to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we left off yesterday talking about being judgmental. And so many times that temptation to be judgmental can be couched in the form of, well, if they would just get things right, if they would just do what the Word says, their life would be better. And of course that's right. But if we're viewing things, if we're viewing them the way God views them, He already sees them as right. And He treats them as though they were in the right. God finds no fault in us. Isn't that wonderful? And if we find no fault in other people, it's going to help them to see that God finds no fault in them. Now, that doesn't mean you're not there to teach. That doesn't mean that you're not there to help. But really, like as in Titus, we mentioned we didn't turn there yesterday, but you could turn there and look at it. When it's talking to the older women teaching the younger women, the real way they're supposed to teach is by being loving, by being a loving mother to her children, by being a wonderful, loving wife, by being Jesus. That's the best way that we teach. The love of God is the best corrector, director. When people see the love of God, it leads them. It's the kindness of God, the Bible says, that leads people to repentance. And so being judgmental is tempting, I think, to people who really want to do what's right in their own life. But especially if we're somebody who wants to do what's right, we have to walk in love. So we have to keep being judgmental out of it. I think, you know, just being honest with you here today, I think in my past, I've come across as people as being judgmental. And I wasn't feeling judgmental. I wasn't trying to be judgmental, you know, especially when you start talking, which the Lord has, you know, had me minister to young girls and young boys about purity and about living your life based on what God wants and all of that. It can come out, or it can be perceived, let's put it that way, as being judgmental. And even probably sometimes I did a poor job of ministering. You know, it's my heart that people see that God loves them. But I'm not perfect. And one thing you need to think, if you have felt that someone has judged you, you know, maybe they really weren't. Maybe they just wanted something better for you. So you can ask the Lord to help you see. Maybe the person that you have a problem with and you think has looked on you in a negative way, and maybe you think they've judged you and they've stood against you or whatever, ask the Lord to help you. Maybe you're not as far apart as you think you are, especially if you're both believers. You know, sometimes we take things way too seriously. And we certainly many times take ourselves way too seriously. You know, and even if somebody is judgmental towards you, God doesn't find any fault in you. And if His Word finds a fault, well, just fix it. Just correct it, because it's His Word. You know, we want to let the Word correct us. We're going to read today in 2 Timothy. It's His Word that is supposed to correct us. And when someone shows you something in the Word, don't get offended. That's the devil trying to keep you out of that place of grace. Don't be offended. Just receive the Word. Ask the Lord to show you how to change things and move on. I think sometimes we take it so seriously that we might be wrong, or somebody might think we're wrong, or somebody might be accusing us of being wrong. Let's just forget all of that and let's be right. You know, one thing that Jesus said, He said, "I'm always right." When did He say that? He said that in John 5:30. And in the Amplified, it says, "My judgments are always right." And why did He say that? He said, "Because I don't consult my own will. I don't seek my own desires. I only do what the Father tells me to do." And that's what we can do, and we'll be right too. But the main motivator that the Lord has given us, and the, you know, I guess you could call it a good bumper. You know, when you go to take your little kids bowling and they put bumper guards in the gutters so that the ball won't go out of bounds. The bowling ball will not go out. That's fun. I wish they would do that for me. Put the bumpers in the gutter so I don't get in the gutter. Well, the love of God is a bumper for us. And when we are determined to walk in love with people and to be lovely, then, you know, it helps us to not get into judgment over them, to not be critical over them. You know, just be very, very wary of a critical spirit. And when you say things or think things, put a stop. Here's what we have to do. You start to have a thought, or you start to say something to somebody about so-and-so, and, you know, you're on the phone and you're like, "Well, did you see so-and-so? Did you see what she was wearing? Or did you hear what she said? Or, you know, do you think they're having an affair?" You put a stop. Don't let that, I mean me too, we will not let that stuff come out of our mouth. Our words are so important. Our words create, and our words can destroy people. And we just have to be aware that our words should be used to bring life to situations. I mean, if you think somebody's having an affair, put it in the hands of the Lord and just pray for them. They're probably not. They may not be. But do you realize that by saying something, you can cause devastation to come? I mean, just think about it. I've always thought, you know, when somebody, I could view somebody that I know, you know, they're a nice person. I've never had any problem with them. And soon as somebody brings you gossip, if you don't on purpose resist it, plead the blood over it, shove it away, refuse it. If that gossip comes into your ear, and you need to put a, when people try to use you as a trash can, just say, no, thank you. Don't let them do it. Don't let them say stuff. Because not only will it help them to stop doing that, it'll bring attention to them. They probably don't even realize they're doing it. But when someone says something to you about another person, they've burdened you now with their viewpoint of that person when you may not even had a negative viewpoint of that person. But now the next time you see them or they say that person, this person that they talked about, you see them or they do something, you're going to think about them through that gossip and that slander. And it just snowballs from there. And it can really devastate people's lives. And we're not in the job of devastation. We're in the job of building up. Even if somebody's having a hard time, we certainly don't need to talk about it and spread it. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. And if you think that person's horrible, you can sit there to yourself and think with the love of God. You can think, you know what? Jesus was willing to die for them. I'm willing to either keep my mouth shut. I'm willing to walk in love. I'm willing to pray for them, Lord. Who is the Lord going to choose to bring that person back into Him? Or who's the Lord going to choose to minister life to that person? It's not going to be the people who are slandering them. It's going to be the person who's willing to love them. And I know that you are like me and you want the Lord to be able to use us. I want to be useful to the Lord in situations. I want to be useful when somebody needs somebody. I want to have the right thing to say. I want to be like Jesus where, you know, I only say and do what the Father says for me to say and do. And what is the pathway to be that way is just a daily decision. As Romans 12 says, a daily making my life a living sacrifice. I'm here on this planet for you today, Lord. Who can I minister love to? And as soon as somebody starts gossiping about somebody, or you're tempted to gossip about somebody, let me tell you, if you're tempted to gossip about somebody, here's the first thought that ought to enter into your head. If we'll do what the Word says, here's what should enter into your thinking. Because the Bible says to be aware of the devil's devices. Devil tempts you to gossip or slander somebody or to think somebody's doing this or their dress was this or look how they act or look what they did. Look how they're raising their kids. Your first thought should be, Satan is after this person. Satan is trying to sift this person. Satan's trying to start something here to defeat this person, and I refuse to not only be a part of it, I refuse to sit idly by and let it happen with others. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you, Satan, where this person's concerned. You stop in your maneuvers to bring them to a bad place, to defeat them in Jesus' name. I speak the love of God over them. Oh, Father, I love that some of you need to be doing this right now about somebody that's popped into your head. Just do it with me. Father, I love that person. I thank you for blessing them. I thank you for making your will known to them. Lord, I thank you that they have wisdom. They walk in love, and I walk in love with them. Lord, your love is shed abroad in my heart for that person. Start talking that. Start talking the love of God. Rebuke the devil. You have authority over him. Let me tell you, you're probably not the only person he's trying to get to stir up strife and division about that person. That's the way he operates. He gets little things going here and there, and somebody thinks something negative about somebody, and then they hear somebody else say it, and they think, well, see, there you go. I'm not the only one seeing that. Think that could mean more people than you are listening to the devil? We don't need to listen to him. He is not our leader. The Holy Spirit is our leader, and you know he's not going around telling everybody that people are having affairs and their skirts are too short. It's just not who he is. So be wary of whose voice you're listening to, and listen and be motivated by the God of love. we'll stop a whole lot of problems from happening before they ever get started. And we can get on with the business of what we need to be doing instead of tearing each other apart. Certainly, our own family should be safe from our tongue. Amen. And I find that if you will make sure that you are speaking lovingly and speaking things of God about your family, you'll be that way about other people too. Because we typically are more free with our family to treat them in a negative way than we are with other people. So if we'll practice on our family, we'll be stellar with everybody else. So let's go back into the Word and let's just read some scriptures today to inspire us to be loving and to be forgiving and to be gracious to other people. Okay, so let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're just kind of hitting on being judgmental here. Let's just remember that, you know, we weren't always so perfect ourselves. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not working against people here. I hope we get to go to that scripture sometime this week and talk about, you know, how do we change the way we talk, the way we think, and how we fight the good fight of faith where relationships are concerned. You're not fighting with people. That's why it does no good to be angry at them or to hold them in unforgiveness or to be against them. If somebody has wronged you, draw them in. Do your best to walk in love. I mean, when I say do your best, you can't always walk in love. Your best, you can do it. But I mean, do your best to draw them in with that love. Anyway, all of us are used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclination of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. Well, He didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't have to do what He did, and God didn't have to do what He did. But He did, and it said He seated us with Jesus because we're united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us. You know, let God point to you. Don't be pointing at yourself like, I got it all made. I've got it all done. I'm all that, right? They used to say all that in a bag of chips. Now let God point to you. Let God show people His love in you and draw them to you. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we could do the good things He planned for us long ago. You know, we believe this for ourselves. We receive this, but we need to remember that He has that same feeling about the person that you've been having trouble with. He feels that way about them too. And so just remember where you are and where you came from. And remember that God got a hold of you. He changed your life, and expect and begin to be a part and a help of Him getting a hold of that other person's life and changing theirs too. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Let's see. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 says, again I say, don't get involved. You know, one thing let me point out. In these scriptures above this, it talks about special utensils. And it says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver and some of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. This is what we prepare ourselves to do when we begin walking in love. He can use us to minister to other people, and He can trust us with hurting people to love them. He says in verse 23, again I say, don't get involved in foolish and ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. This is how you be a special utensil, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach. Be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Well, listen, I have written in my Bible, I do not belong to Satan. He is not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Satan doesn't want people to escape from the trap. He wants to entrench them further. He would just love it if he could get you to say something unkind to somebody that he's been working on to tell them that God doesn't love them or they're all washed up. He would love it for you to be unkind to them. And don't be used by Satan. Amen. And I do want to point out, just talking about where we're supposed to learn and get our teeth. Of course, you learn when you subject yourself to the good teaching of the Word. That's not what I'm talking about. But when I'm talking about not judging other people, it says here in verse 16 of chapter 3, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what's right. God uses it, or uses the Word, to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. You know, I've written in my Bible that Ephesians 2:10, we talked about the plan of God that He prepared ahead of time for us. He uses the Word to equip and prepare us to do that good work. But we must, you and I, we are tasked with the task of bringing people, reconciling people to God, bringing them to Him, not keeping them and pushing them away from His Word, but bringing them into the fullness of His Word. And how are we going to do that? By walking in love.
Yay, you finished lesson 3. We hope you found some effective strategies for success in your family today. Take advantage of the free downloads. They'll help you put these truths into practice. Expect to see change in each member of your family. The fourth lesson, Live the Love Life for Godly Success, will encourage you to keep thinking of your family like God thinks about them. They are precious to Him. Therefore, they should be precious to you. Join us next time for another great teaching. Until then, have a wonderful day, and remember, Jesus is Lord.